plans have you made this week? What plans have you made this day? How confident are you that they will come to pass? Today, on Light of the Word Radio, Pastor Jim helps us look at the plans we make in light of the Scripture's admonition to consider God first in all your plans. It's an important message in this age of schedules, plans, intentions, and unknown interruptions. So let's sit back and listen as Pastor Jim brings us the message, Lord willing, forget the creek.
James 4, beginning in the 13th verse. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Father God, as we study this morning, Father, I ask that you would speak through me. I thank you, Lord, that in your grace and mercy you chose to save me. As I look at my life, Lord, I know what you have saved me from, and I know the wrath that was to come that has now been washed away. So, Father, I pray that you use your servant to speak to these that are present, that you would be honored, that you would be glorified, and all would know that you are God, the magnificent and holy God. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Here in Kansas, there was a saying that I heard many times growing up. Lord willing and the creek don't rise. You ever hear that? I thought for sure that had to be a Kansas saying. So this week I researched it a little bit. Apparently Alabama's a lot more like Kansas than I thought. But that saying, I've always heard it from people who weren't really Christians. As Christians, that saying ought to be awfully important to us. At least the first half of it. Because if the Lord's willing, it doesn't matter what the creek does, really, right? So we ought to be concerned about what is the Lord willing to do. As I look at this text today, I see four areas that I want us to dig into. And the first one is life is brief. Life is brief, you know. Seems like yesterday I remember being in high school. I remember being in the first grade at Zinedell School as a little boy. And it doesn't seem all that long ago. And yet, it's about 50 years ago. Where does time go? As I look at my life, I see that I am on the backside of life. I have lived more years than I have left to live on this earth. Life is brief. It is but a vapor, Scripture tells us. Now, this is not an indictment against making plans. Not at all. Romans 1, verse 13 says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. Paul made plans, didn't he? Did all of the plans that Paul laid out that he had come to be? They didn't. But Paul made the plans and then put them in the hands of God. Have you ever been frustrated because you had something planned out? You had something figured out and you knew exactly what you wanted and where you was going, and it didn't happen that way? That's frustrating, isn't it? In fact, sometimes it might even be heartbreaking. But who is in control? Is it not God who is in control? And should our plans not be according to His will and not according to our own? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17 says, was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to the flesh, ready to say yes and yes and no at the same time? We as Christians need to live our lives in such a way that it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that we are honoring, right? Isn't that where our heart and our mind should be going to? But instead, we get so wrapped up in this world. James just told us about being a friend of the world. And we get wrapped up in it and swept away. But the fact is we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, do we? Proverbs 27:1, which we read in our call to worship. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. I remember the first time one of my classmates after high school passed away. It was graduation night. And I thought, we have so much life ahead of us. And this classmate, this man I'd grown up with through junior high and high school, his future was over. Truly over, because I don't believe he was a man who knew Christ. Brothers and sisters, we don't know that we have tomorrow. So what we do ought to be about the glory of God. Life is short, it is brief, and it is foolish to presume or depend upon tomorrow for anything. I have had people tell me that they will be interested in knowing more about Christ tomorrow. You ever hear that? We don't know that they have tomorrow. We don't know that we have tomorrow. I know people who believe in something called friendship evangelism. Now, I believe we should evangelize all of our friends. But to wait until you have built a relationship with somebody to share the gospel with them is foolish. Life is brief. This morning in our readings, Tim read from Luke 12. And the man had a great harvest. And so he makes plans to tear down his barns and build bigger barns. And he says, I will be set for years. But the Lord said, you fool, tonight your soul will be called upon. It'll be required. Tonight is all you have. Would you do things differently if tonight was all you had? Would you do things differently if you knew tomorrow was probably going to be your last day? Would you take extra time to let people know you love them? Would you take extra time to let them know who Jesus Christ is? Brothers and sisters, we don't know that we have tomorrow. We don't know that we have another day. We need to take that time now. Sadly, I feel that a number of my family members are lost. I need to make sure I continue to give them the gospel now, don't I? Loving, kindly, and regularly. People say, well, they don't want to hear it. They've already heard it. It is not my kind conversation with my family or my friends that saves them. It is the Word of God. And without the Word of God, there is no saving. And it is the Word of God that I need to share with them for God's glory and their salvation. At best, I said, life is but a vapor. That's what James says right here in verse 14. It appears for a little time and then vanishes. Or in Psalm 89:47, psalmist wrote, remember how short my time is, for what vanity you have created in all children. Or Psalm 90:9-10, for all the days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet the span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. What are we waiting for to serve God? Are we waiting for a better time? I remember as a lost person, when those around me would share the gospel with me, I remember saying, well, I need to do this first. I need to do that first. And then I will come. The Lord Jesus Christ meets you right where you are. And he won't leave you there. He meets you where you are. You do not have to do anything. He does it all. But in this short life, we are filled with arrogance. With arrogance. Psalm 39:5-6. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Selah. Surely man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. It was arrogant of the man who had the great harvest to assume that he had many years to enjoy it. That parable also assumes that he would spend those things on himself, just as we do. And just as James has been sharing with us, in these previous verses and chapters. Brothers and sisters, life is short. I have performed funerals for every age group that you can imagine. I have performed funerals for day old. I have performed funerals for children, for teenagers, for 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, all the way to the oldest one I've done is just over 100. And their days are gone. With that, knowing this, my second point here is death is certain. James 14, again. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. That's what we are. This little spot on the timeline of eternity doesn't hardly even show up. And when I say this little spot, I'm talking about the entire time of creation, from the day of creation to the day of judgment and destruction of this world as we know it. It is but a breath in eternity. Death is certain. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment." People say, "Well, I'm a Christian. I don't have to worry about the judgment." I think Scripture says that every one of us are going to give an accounting, doesn't it? It doesn't say just because you're a Christian, you're not going to give an accounting. It does say that you are forgiven, but you will give an accounting. Death is greatly feared by most people. Now, they don't fear it until they see the possibility of them dying, whatever event that might be. Somebody in a plane that is having trouble, immediately their mortality comes to mind. Somebody that is around someone with a deadly, contagious sickness, all of a sudden their mortality comes to mind. And people fear it. But brothers and sisters, if we live for Christ, if we are His, we not only don't have to fear death, but death becomes a blessing. Philippians 1, beginning in the 19th verse, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better." Do we understand that for us to die in Christ is a blessing? We get so wrapped up in the blessings of the flesh, the blessings of this world, this life, and this time, that we miss the greatest blessings, the walk with Christ. In fact, compared to walking with Christ, there is little that this world has to offer that can even be compared. In fact, it is like rubbish, like trash. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them." What a life that is spent serving and walking with God. From a young age, I know that when God saved me and turned me and I began to walk with Him, I realized the waste of what I had done before. Now, of course, God uses it all, doesn't He? And He has used that life from before to allow me to minister to others in the same lifestyle, in the same problems. But brothers and sisters, what an example. When somebody at a young age comes to Christ and then serves Him all their life, they may not have that dramatic story like we hear on Unshackled, if you ever listened to Unshackled. But look at the life of what God has done and how God has been seen. It's far greater than that story, because God has been glorified with the whole life. Brothers and sisters, I'm asking you, if you hear my voice, I'm begging you, turn to Him now while you can. Serve Him while you can. Because the day is coming when you will not be able to serve Him. I tell the story of a man I met in Texas. Shortly after I got to know him, he came down with cancer. And as his cancer progressed, he got to the place where he couldn't drive anymore, and his wife would take him down to the local convenience store where all the old men gathered to tell stories and to talk. And she'd drop him off down there. And amongst all those who had come in, who he had known all his life, he would share Christ. And I remember talking to him just before he died, and he was telling me that his biggest regret was that he could no longer go down there and share Christ, that he could no longer share Christ with anybody. And I told him that day that he would continue to, because his story I would share as long as I lived. Brothers and sisters, what is your story? Is your story, is your life about serving God, or is it about serving yourself? Let's pray as we close this first half of this message. Father, we just ask that as your word has gone out and as your word promises that it would not come back void, we pray, Father, for those who have heard your word through this message. And we ask, Father, that by the truth of your word, you draw them close to you and bring them back, Lord, to hear the second half of this message. To you be all glory. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Ah, what a powerful question. Is your life about serving yourself, or is it about serving God? There's only one answer to this question that will bring about peace and comfort when you face the day of your death. There's only one way to spend your life so that the day of judgment holds no terror, and that is a life spent united with Christ for the glory of God.
Hello, friends. This is Monday morning, August the 10th, 2020. I wanted to share something with you that is on my heart, something that has been in my prayers as of late, and that is the persecution against the church here in America. In many ways, we know that persecution will come. We know that those days are to be expected. We also know that it is during times of persecution that the church is strengthened and grows, but it is also a time that our hearts are heavy for those who face the troubles. One in particular that stands out to me today is Pastor John MacArthur and the elders and the members and the attenders of Grace Community Church in California. This pastor, John MacArthur, is one that I have listened to on a regular basis for the last 25 years. I have read his books. I have turned to his teaching time after time to enhance and to grow my own. Now, this pastor is one who stands for the truth of God's word. Pastor MacArthur has made many stands in the past that God's word would be pure, that God's word would be held at high esteem, and now he's facing attacks again for doing that. The attacks have always come. He has withstood them, but again he is facing attacks. And I think it's time for me to call out and use little platforms that God has given me to ask you, all who hear this, to pray. Pray yes for Pastor John MacArthur. Pray yes for Grace Community Church. But it doesn't start and end there. The attacks on the church in the United States are everywhere. Churches are closed down. Churches are afraid to meet. Pastors are afraid of arrest. Pastors are afraid of being ticketed large amounts of money that they don't have. Church members are afraid of being a part of that. And so God's word is being silenced in some places because of that. We can't stand for this. We must stand for the truth of God's word being shared. We must stand in prayer, bringing before God our petitions, that he would intervene. We know that the threats on John MacArthur were of arrest and fine if he had services yesterday. We do know that he held services yesterday. We do know that there were a lot of people who came to worship and to hear truth. We have not yet seen any action taken against him, but that doesn't mean that it's not coming. So now is a time to be praying. It is truly God who is under attack. It is truly his word that is under attack. And we who are his, we who have been saved by his mercy and grace, need to stand. Let me share a few pieces of scripture with you. I have told you these things so that in me being Jesus, this is John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. We'll have trouble. Probably should be in great big letters because it's true. But take heart, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. We know that the victory is ours. We know that he has won already. But we must stand now for God's word. If you are a part of a church that is closed down, lift your church up in prayer. But don't let that stop you from worshiping. Of course, we have online services. Our church, Lighthouse Baptist Church in St. George, Kansas, we have them online as well. But that's not what we're called to do. There are reasons for people to stay home, those who are sick. But for most of us, that desire in our hearts to worship God is very strong. And when we are worshiping God, we know that the scripture says that we're to gather together to worship him. Together is not online. So we are to gather together. And we are to know that the victory is won. People say, what, you don't believe in the coronavirus? Absolutely, I believe in the coronavirus. It is a terrible virus. It is true. I'm not sure what numbers to believe that I see, because there's so many contradictions in so many different ways. But absolutely, there is a terrible virus in the coronavirus. But then there is a terrible virus in the flu. There are many viruses and bacterias that are attacking people. We cannot stop living. We cannot stop worshiping because of fear of what might happen. We must live for Christ. Paul said, for me to die is gain. And he says, but for me to live is Christ. Or in other words, he says, it is not I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. If we are to live for Christ, if it is Christ who lives in me, if it is Christ who lives in you, then we need to stand for truth. We need to worship God Almighty. As I continue with the scripture, something that has just blessed me as I've read over it and over it recently, is Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Who can be against us? Who, if they knew what they were doing, would want to be against us? So that leaves us with decisions to make on our behavior. Are we going to cower? Or are we going to stand for the name of Christ? 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Oh, friends, I am not suggesting that you do anything illegal. I am asking you to go to your knees, to get on your face and pray for those who are willing to put themselves at risk, that you and those around you can hear the word of God. I think of when the apostles were arrested, and as they were being released, they were told that they could not talk about this Jesus or his resurrection anymore. And they said, what do you mean? Of course, this is me paraphrasing. They said, what do you mean? How can we not? Brothers and sisters, how can we not? We must stand. If you know a church pastor who is under heavy persecution because of standing for God's truth, send them an encouraging note. Let them know that you are praying for them. In fact, if you get online, look up gty.org. You could send a note to Pastor John MacArthur and the church there at Grace Community, letting them know that you're praying and that you thank them for standing for the Word of God. As I look at the brave men and women around this nation who are going to go to church, who are going to worship God, even when they are told not to, my heart goes out to them. I thank them. I lift them up in my prayers. May they be an example to all of us that God is first. And in the words of John MacArthur, he said, "I will not give to Caesar what is God's." Amen and amen. Let's pray. Father, there are many around this nation. There are many around the world who are facing persecution. Father, in some ways, in most ways, the persecution that we are facing here in America is very minimal compared to those who are dying every single day for their faith. But even in that, Lord, you are still with them and you are still carrying them. You are still protecting them because it is eternal life that is at stake. Oh, Father, we pray for Pastor John MacArthur, but we pray for every pastor, Lord, who gets up and prepares a message and brings your word in truth according to your intent, Lord. We lift them up to you, that you be glorified by them. And Father, each of us who love you know that when we face persecution, we will stand in you. And as was said in Daniel by those who were being put into the furnace, "And if our God does not, we will still worship him." Lord, we will worship you no matter what persecution comes. Lord, we will worship you even to the end, because you are worthy, because you are our God, and there is no other. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I thank you for this platform. And I ask, Lord, strengthen me to stand and be a witness. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 1-800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we will send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day of the calendar with stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. Thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you will join us next time on Light of the Word Radio. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word. Before we go, we do have a special message from Pastor Jim in support of Dr. John MacArthur. So please stay tuned. Here's Pastor Jim.